Hello.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
The stupidity of the world God chooses. Another day, everyone. What a great day it is today, everyone. I hope you are enjoying your day and you're enjoying freedom because you have believed, as we've spoken on this program, that we're justified gratuitously. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about Romans chapter 4. There's a great verse of scripture, and I want to read it. In verse 4, we read this: Abraham believes God, and it is reckoned to him for righteousness. Let me say that again. Abraham believes God, and it is reckoned to him for righteousness. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that Abraham repented hard enough. It doesn't say that Abraham believed hard enough. It just says that Abraham believed God. Good news, cannot be believed. Let me repeat this. Good news can be believed without a previous repentance. I want you to dwell on that. Mark chapter 1 says that they were to repent and believe the good news. Well, here in Romans, justification is by believing. Believing what God has said and believing what God has said concerning his son and his work on the cross of Calvary. Well, Abraham believes God and it is reckoned to him for righteousness. You know what? Insert your name there. If you're driving out there in your car, if you're a little girl, a little boy, I don't care how old or how young you are, I don't care what nationality you are, put your name there. So-and-so believes God. What's your name? Ready? What's your name? Your name believes God, and it is reckoned to him or her for righteousness. Do you believe God? Do you believe what God has said? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was entombed, and that he was roused again the third day according to the scriptures? Do you believe that? Well, add your name. Your name believes God and is reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, those of you out there who attend those churches where you have the response of, you respond, your preacher says something, and you repeat it. Well, here, repeat after me. Say your name right now. Say it. Now, come on, I know don't be shy. When I say now, say your name. All right, everyone listening, everyone get together. If you're driving or if you're at home or if you're listening on the internet, as soon as I say your name, everyone say your name. Okay, here we go. You ready? Your name believes God and it is reckoned to him or her for righteousness. I hope you said your name there. Well, now notice what it goes on to say. Now to the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. Now to the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. Excuse me here. Pardon me, still battling that cold. Now, when you go to work, and you're a worker, whatever your job is, now you go to work, and at the end of the week or every 2 weeks you get a check, whether it's a direct deposit or they physically give you a check, that wage that you get, do you count that as a favor from your boss or your company you work for? You go to work, you work your hours, whether it's 10 hours a week or 100, I don't care how many hours, but you go and you do your job, and at the end of that pay period, you're given wages. Now, when you get those wages, do you walk up to your boss and say, "Dear boss, thank you for this gratuitous gift"? Do you do that? No, you don't. As a matter of fact, does the boss come up to you after the end of a hard work week and say to you, "Here, since you work so hard, I have this free gift for you"? No, he doesn't do that either. You would say, "Free gift, I worked for this." Well, that is the concept many people have of God. They think God is the great boss in the sky, and your job is to work hard enough to get some kind of earnings, that you have to work hard enough to earn life in heaven or something like that, or escape a place of fiery torture. But that's not God. To the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. It's something owed to you. And let me just tell you, God owes you nothing. If you have to work for salvation and justification and all the other things that come with God's great program. If you have to work for it, God is indebted to you, and God will never be indebted to you. I wish these people who taught salvation by works would be a little more honest, and they would stop saying you need to earn it, and yet it's a gift at the same time. I wish they'd start speaking what they mean by saying, well, we have to earn it because so God can owe it to us. God doesn't owe us anything. Now, to the worker, the wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. Yet, to him who is not working, let me repeat that. Yet to him who is not working, let me repeat that again. Yet to him who is not working, just in case some of you out there are hard of hearing, let me repeat it. Yet to him who is not working, yet is believing on him. Notice the word work and the word believing are opposites. Yet to him who is not working, yet is believing on him who is justifying the irreverent, that is, the ungodly, as other versions say, those who have no reverence for God, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now, notice once again, God justifies the irreverent. We learned last time that the same moment you're falling short of God's glory, the same moment, right in the middle of your sinning and wanting of God's glory, at that very moment, during your sins and wanting of God's glory, you're justified. There's no bridge, there's no time gap. God justifies you as you are. You don't have to get your life in order or take a 10-step program or anything like that. The very moment you come to God in belief, in your present condition, in your sinful condition, that same moment you believe you're justified. No works involved. And this is what distinguishes the Bible or the sacred scriptures from all other religions, whether they be pagan or Christian religion. This is what distinguishes it from all the rest. And so, friends, we ought to be happy. David goes on to say, happy they whose lawlessnesses were pardoned and whose sins were covered over. Happy the man to whom the Lord by no means should be reckoning sin. This is good news, friends. And with good news, you should be happy. Are you happy? Well, that's the only reason you should be happy is not because you did something, but because something God has done for you. Well, let's continue. In Romans chapter 5, I want to read something here. We learn justification. And he goes on in Romans 5 by saying this, being then justified by faith. That's a faith principle, not of works, not by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. He says, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that term peace, and this is peace toward God. You ever hear people say, you know, oh, that person made his peace with God? You know, we ought to be careful, I think, when we hear men talk and religious people talk, even if they go under the name Christian, especially if they go under the name Christian, we got to check them out. But we use terminology that is very ungodly, very irreverent. And one of those terms is, he's made his peace with God. No, Christ has made the peace. The peace was made through the blood of the cross. We don't make our peace with God. Here, being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more indignation against the unbeliever. You and I will never experience God's indignation because you and I have peace. There's nothing but peace between you and God. If you're a believer today, all is peace. All is well. Now, your circumstances may be telling you otherwise, but we're going to see here in Romans 5, our circumstances have nothing to do with it. God is not mad at you. He goes on, he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. All right, so we're justified. Because we're justified, we may be having peace. Okay? And then it says, through whom we have the access also. Notice the additions. Justification is one thing. He declared us righteous. But God wants more than just declaring us righteous. He wants us to enjoy himself. He brings us in, we have a relationship of peace, and not only that, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You and I today now stand in grace. And guess what, friends? Grace assumes sin. We stand in grace. We are not on probation. So many people think that God basically cleans the slate. Many people today view salvation as God clearing our past. He cleaned the slate and we get to start over. But once you start over, if you mess up, it's right back into prison. No, that's probation. God is not a probation officer. We are not on probation. And that's a terrible doctrine. And we stand in grace. Having been justified, we enjoy peace with God right now, and we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Our standing before God is in grace. God deals with us now in grace. Romans 6 talks about grace reigning. Grace is the king today, not law. Grace is a king. Grace is a despot. He's a total ruler. And boy, what a thing to have grace reign over us. That means that God deals with us on the basis of grace, which is because, and by the way, grace is established on a solid righteous foundation, and that righteous foundation is the work of the Son of God on Calvary. When Christ died on Calvary, he didn't die for just your past sins, he died for your present and your future. God has righteously dealt with our sins in the person and work of his Son, our Lord Jesus. And because of that, you and I stand in grace today. And not only that, he goes on and continues and says, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God, or we may be boasting in expectation of the glory of God. Now that's future. You and I, our past is settled, we're justified, our present is glorious, our present means we have peace with God and we stand in grace, and our future is nothing all rosy. It doesn't matter what the stock market says, we're boasting in the expectation of the glory of God. That's an all-the-way-home Savior, friends. We can look back into our sinful condition, we've been justified, presently we have peace with God, we stand in grace, and we can boast in the future glory which we're going to enter when Christ snatches us away in the future, and raises us from the dead, and we're with him forever. Oh, I can go on, I'm overwhelmed with joy. Well, if you have any questions, you can call us at 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. You can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. That's crossandthrone.com. And get the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary. You need to have these things. Well, that's all I have to say. Now I have to run. Uh-oh. That's my call, everyone. You guys have a great day. See you next time.